I'd like to welcome everybody to the earliest meeting on the schedule. As most have are aware that due to the announcements and the schedules that each meeting has a different character, and this meeting is for children. I don't really see a lot of the children here in the front row, but I guess we're all children at heart, aren't we? So I'd like to welcome everybody here, and I'd sure like to hear the children participate as I'm talking. Perhaps some young one would like to give out the first hymn for us. Doesn't necessarily have to be for these young boys in the front row here, but perhaps there's one that's sitting with their parents that would like to give one out too. Who would like to? Okay, what number would you like?
41.
Okay, we have number 41. Okay, hymn number 41. Well, it's nice to start out with singing, isn't it? We've got this first one here that has singing. So it's all children that are singing around the throne of God. Okay, perhaps someone could start out number 41 for us.
Around the throne of God in heaven.
Gave that hymn out could tell us where does this song take place?
Heaven.
It takes place in heaven. That's right. Can anybody tell me what kind of people are going to be there? It tells us what kind of people are going to be there. What are they going to be wearing? What are they going to have up in heaven? You know, not everybody is going to be up in heaven. Not everybody's going to be there. What kind of people are going to be up in heaven that we've just been singing about? Somebody tell me? I'm sure everybody knows, but I... Could anybody tell me then? Would anybody like to just speak out and tell me? Okay, what kind? That's right. Those that have known the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's right. And they've had their sins washed away, as a little hymn says, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Yes. When do you have to do this? When can this be done? Okay. When do we have to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? This is very important. Who can tell me? When do we do it? When do we do it? I'm sure somebody has an answer. When do we do it? When do we put our trust in the Lord Jesus? Next week? Oh, sometime in the very near future? When we get up to heaven? When do we do it?
When we ask.
When we ask? That's right, when we ask. But when do we ask? When do we ask? Can you tell me?
As soon as you can.
As soon as you can? That's just about the right answer I'm looking for. But the answer, of course, is as soon as you can, right? But you do it right here, down here on earth. It says on earth, the song begins. So that's when we have to put our trust in the Lord Jesus. And that's why this conference and the children's meeting and the gospel meetings are so important. Because there's people that think they're going to have time to do this. And there's people that think they'll do it at some later date, at some other time, when that's not correct. They have to do it right now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay, can we have another one? Can we have another song from somebody? Okay, what number would you like?
Number four.
Number four? Okay, number four. Christ is the Savior of sinners. That's a good one, yeah. Savior of sinners like me. Well, I hope each one of us can put our name in there, me. Okay? Me. Okay, could somebody raise the tune, please? Before we sing another one, we can ask for the Lord's help in prayer. Our God and Father, we would thank Thee that we have another day of grace that Thou hast granted to us. We thank Thee for this time that we can be here, this Sunday school, this children's meeting here this morning, where so many boys and girls have come, and older ones too, and young people. And as we have been singing, that Christ is the Savior of sinners. And we thank Thee, our God and Father, for sending that blessed one, thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to be our Savior. For we all need a Savior. We all need to have our sins washed away. And there's only one way, as we haven't seen, through that finished work on Calvary, that precious blood that was shed there. So we just pray this morning, as we sing these hymns, as we open thy word and read it, that there'll be attentive hearts and consciences there, that none will leave this place without knowing thee, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. So we commend this meeting to thy care, asking for thy help now, doing it with thanksgiving, in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I forgot if there's any boys and girls that would like to come up. There's still a few seats close to the front, so if there's any little boy or girl that would like to come up, I'd like to see them up here. Okay, perhaps we could sing one more. Is there any little boy or girl here in the front row that would like to give one out? You're the only little girl up here. Would you like to give one out? No? Oh, that's okay. Anybody have one here? Maybe it's not, doesn't have to be on the sheet. Maybe the Sunday school that you go to, there might be a song that you like, and it's one of your favorites, and it mightn't be on the sheet, but it might be one that you'd like to sing. Is there one you'd like to sing? Maybe one more? Okay. Okay, we've got some good old reliables up here. That's good. Yeah. Number 20? Okay, number 20. Number 20. Behold the Savior at the door. He gently knocks, has knocked before. Well, that's a nice one. I like that. Okay, could somebody raise the tune to number 20? I'd like to, I'm going to read a verse now. We had a prayer meeting on Friday night, and a brother stood up and he prayed, and he asked that there would be something special for every age group in this hall or this room here. And you know, this meeting is specifically for children, for children. And we have gospel meetings and we have different character of meetings. We've had a reading meeting, we've had an open meeting. But you know, the Lord Jesus takes an interest in everyone in this room, from the very youngest to the very oldest. And isn't it nice to think that he looks down and he sees children here today? And I have my Bible open at a portion of Scripture. I'm going to read a few, but can anybody tell me, can the boys or girls, I'd like a younger one to do it if they could. We're all young at heart, so maybe there would be someone else that could give me part of a verse that would encourage us what the Lord Jesus could say about children. Who can give me a verse? Don't have to. I've got my Bible open at one. There's three accounts in the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that tell us the Lord Jesus was interested in children. I give you the first word, who can finish the verse? It's just part of it, suffer. I'm sure everybody knows it. What is it?
Every little children come unto me.
That's good. That's the verse I've got. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to read it. There's a verse found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'm going to read it. It's in verse 13. And it says, and they brought young children to him. I like to think that's the parents, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall enter therein. Well, I like this verse because as everyone here sits here in their chair, I'm sure they can all recall their parents bringing them to a meeting such as this. Isn't it nice the parents brought their children to Jesus? You know, it's nice this morning that parents took time to get their children ready as you're all sitting here. And each one of us, I'm glad you all came, got up, got dressed, and came to the children's meeting this morning because it was announced as a children's meeting, and I can see a lot of people out here who are a lot older than children. And we don't really know what a child's age is, but it's nice that everyone came here. But isn't it nice that these children, these parents, brought their children to Jesus and he touched them, and they wanted him, they wanted their children to be touched by the Lord Jesus. I hope everybody here will be touched by the Lord Jesus and realize who he was and what he has done. And you know, as you read this verse, it's interesting because we don't have a lot of young children here, but you know, you think of a young child being brought to the Lord Jesus. I guess everybody maybe has a little idea of what this might have been, but I'm sure most people have thought about this verse. I did a little bit. You know, there was a little incident that happened in our house one time. You know, children, when they're brought, there's always different conditions, isn't there? Sometimes you can hold a child and it's quiet. It's just sitting there. There's other times when it gets a little excited. It might be screaming. It might be yelling. And there's other times when you brought some that might want to come and you're sort of dragging them along. And so what kind of children would have been brought to the Lord? Have you ever thought of that? What kind would have the Lord, what kind of a parent had to bring their children? They look at Jesus, maybe someone that never seen him before. Must have been something. I know in our house one time, we had a group of people over and we had a daughter, our oldest daughter at the time. She was just a little baby and she was sleeping quite content. So this one person that was there, I don't want to give his name because everybody would know him, but said, "Oh, I'll hold the baby." And so he took the baby and sat down, and it was quite nice there for about 2 minutes, but I guess a little noise woke the child up. And, oh, man, he's, "What do I do now? What do I do now?" He got a little excited because this baby that he was holding that was so nice and quiet woke up, and it was starting to move around, and it was starting to react just a little bit. So he gave him back to my wife or I guess, or someone that could hold on to her. But, you know, it's just nice to see that parents brought their children to Jesus. And each one of us, isn't it nice that the Lord Jesus has brought, or our parents have brought us, told us about the Lord Jesus. And I pray, as I said, as I read this verse, I'm just thinking about how each one in this room, I hope, is touched by the Lord Jesus. And we have to be children. We have to be children to believe in Him. Very simply, it says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, I'd like to go over and read a little bit of a story about a child, a young boy. This is a well-known story, but I thought it'd be nice for the children that are here, and we could read it. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read a little part of it. It's found in 1 Samuel, a story of a little boy. Anybody here that's got the name of Samuel? Anybody's name here Samuel? Or Sam? Or? Oh, okay. Very good. I'm going to ask you specifically a question then. Maybe not now, but I will. Okay, we've got one Samuel here. Okay. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three chapters, but I'm not going to read all the chapters. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. But I just thought of a story of a man and a lady, and the man's name was Elkanah. The lady's name was Hannah. And they had a little baby boy. And it says in verse 20, I'll read in verse 19. And it says, "They rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came to pass when the time was come about Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Behold, because I have asked of him of the Lord." Well, I was struck when the open meeting, a brother stood up and talked, and he said, and he knew his name. And the man's name, of course, was Moses. But I thought that it was interesting and profitable maybe for each one of us to realize they had this little baby. The baby's name was Samuel. You know, boys and girls, the Lord knows each one of our names too. And He knows each name in this room here. He can call each one of us by our name. And that's very important. You know, you think of in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus was walking by that sycamore tree, which my car is parked out under there. And there was a man sitting up in that tree, and He called him down. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." You know, the Lord Jesus is calling each one of us. He knows our names. He didn't only know the name of an older person whose name was Moses, but He knows each one of our names here. He knows each one of our names here. And so this little boy was born to a mom and a dad. And this mother wanted to loan him to the Lord. You know, that's what we all are really. We're loaned. God has given us to our parents, but our parents are responsible to bring us up for the Lord, for the Lord. And that's what this mother did. And so we read here that she bare a son. And it's nice to see how they get up early in the morning like we did this morning. And it says she bare a son. And they came, as it says here in verse 24, it says that this child was growing up. And she gave the child, it's called in verse 24, she says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and etc." There was a little offering there. And she brought the child to the house of the Lord, which I'm going to go in a minute. So boys and girls, I'd like to ask you, what does it mean when it says, "And they weaned the child"? What does it mean when they weaned the child? Does anybody know that word? It's kind of a hard word, but what does it mean? We've all been weaned here, but there's a little baby maybe that hasn't been weaned. That means it's maybe I should just give a simple example. There might be, tell me?
Born.
Yeah, that's right. It means it's born and its mummy is raising it up and it has to be nursed or it has to have a bottle. And then after a while, it's able to have food that we all eat, isn't it, eh? Would that be? I brought up a couple of items here. And do you think this here would be something that a weaned child would use, a newborn child would use, isn't it? This is it. I think this would be something that a weaned child would use. So the mother, I imagine, would have a little blanket, something like this. This might be familiar. And this baby would be in this blanket, and she would be raising it. And she would be bringing it, as we're going to find in the next verse. Where did she bring this child? Well, in verse 27 and 28 of the first chapter, it says that as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And then it said, as we go on a little more, we find that Samuel was lent to the Lord, and it says that it says in verse 3, chapter 3, of verse 1, that he was in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. You know, I thought of the brother that spoke the other day. He talked a little bit about the ark of God and the temple of God. You know, that's where Samuel was brought. He was brought to where God was. And you know, each one of us have to do with God. That's one thing that we can't do away with in this world. We all have to do with God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And here was Samuel, just a little boy, as we saw this little blanket here. He was being raised by his mother, and he was brought to the house of God. And you know, we find another thing here, and we go back to chapter 2 and verse 18. Samuel's got a little older now, and it says, Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. He's a little older now. He's been weaned. He's a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother brought him a little coat and brought it from here year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Well, Samuel's getting a little bigger. Well, I got another set of clothes here. How big do you think he'd be? Hey, which one of these do you think he'd fit in at this age? Got another set of clothes here. I got two items here. How big do you think he'd be? Which one of these do you think he'd fit in? Which one? Do you think he'd fit in this one? Do you think he's that big now? Well, you could be right. It doesn't say really, does it, eh? But anyway, his mother was bringing him up clothes year by year on a regular basis because he was growing and he was getting a little bigger. And there was a yearly sacrifice. That is, he was learning about the Lord Jesus. Or he was learning about God in the place where God was, where the ark was. And so I think that's really good to see that he's growing up in a good place, good environment. And that's important for each one of us. We always have to be in a place where God is, because that's how we're going to grow. We're told to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we go on just a little bit, we see where he was. And you know, where he was, it wasn't a very good place or a very good situation, you know. At that time, it was pretty dark. It was said, as it says in the first verse there of chapter 3, it said, he grew and he ministered unto the Lord. That is, he was able to do things for the Lord. How big would he have been now, do you think? How big do you think he would have been now? Well, I got two items left here. One is already, this one here, you said maybe that's what he was. Well, he was ministering unto the Lord. Now he was able to do things for the Lord. You know, you come to the conference, you know, ministering means you're able to do something. We all like to do something, don't we, for the Lord? We all, especially if it's for the Lord. That's important. You know, I see people back there pouring drinks for the coffee and getting meals ready and things like that. That's what Samuel, he had a job to do when he was in the temple there. And when he was doing things, he was ministering. So this one here looks like it'd be the biggest, so I presume he might have been. How old do you think he might have been? Anybody got want to put a guess? Do you think he? How old do you think he would have been if he could minister? What do you think?
10.
Yeah, okay, maybe he might have been 8, 9, 10. We don't know. They don't really give us ages. But you know, boys and girls, as we're looking at this, remember, he was responsible now to the Lord for what he was doing. Because it says he was ministering. He was in a place, the temple. The ark was there. That is, God was there. And, you know, it's like each one of us here. You know, we've been brought up in a Christian household. Each one of us here, maybe. We've all heard the gospel. Anybody that was here last night heard a very, very faithful gospel. And each one of us are responsible, like Samuel was, to know the Lord. Because he was right in that right place, ministering unto the Lord. And he was growing. And so, as we go along, we find that, you know, we find a very word in there that I think, let's see, I've got to find it here. Okay, we find that as Samuel was there, he was sleeping in the temple. And he went to bed one night, and all of a sudden a voice called out, Samuel. And he woke up and he heard it. And he thought it was the man that was looking after the temple, which was Eli. And so he went and saw him right away and said, you called me. You wanted me. Here he was. His responsibility was to be in the temple and doing things for the Lord. Doing things in the temple. Well, you know, boys and girls, this speaks to me, and I hope it does to each one of you. Has anybody heard this story before? How many times did the Lord call Samuel? Remember? He called him 3 times. That's right. That's a perfect testimony of a number, isn't it? Eh? You know, boys and girls, how many times, if I asked you, how many times have you come to a gospel meeting or a children's meeting? More than 3. Everybody put up their hand if they've come to a gospel meeting or a children's meeting more than 3 times. I would almost say everybody. Ah, that's good. I'm glad you put your hand up. That's good. I imagine you have come that much. But you know, here is Samuel. And you know, there's a solemn word there. And it says in verse 7, after he, and again the Lord called in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, the Lord called yet again. You know, boys and girls, everybody put their hand up to say they've been at a children's meeting. How many people got saved the first time they heard the gospel? How many people got saved the first time they heard about the Lord Jesus? You know, I have to say, I didn't. It took quite a few gospel meetings. You know, here's Samuel. This little boy here said he might have been 10. Well, we're going to read a verse in verse 7 that tells us a little about Samuel. So God called him 3 times. Now, isn't God gracious? How many times has he spoken to us? How many times have we sat and listened to him? You know, that little hymn that was given out, hymn number 20, which I thought was really a good verse, you know. It says, admit him lest his anger burn, that he depart and ne'er return. Oh, how many times have we spurned the nice message that God has given us? And you know, as you look at verse 7 here, it says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. What solemn words. I'm going to apply it in the gospel here, but Samuel didn't know the Lord. I hope there's nobody here that doesn't know the Lord. Everybody put their hand up to say that they've at least been to 3 gospel meetings or children's meetings. And here's Samuel. He may have been 10 years of age. He understood. He was ministering. He was in the temple. And yet he didn't know the Lord. Well, isn't it important that we know the Lord? To know the Lord Jesus. Oh, we read that verse about the parents that brought their children to the Lord Jesus. And who was the Lord Jesus? Well, he was the very Son of God that came down here from those heights of glory, down here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the Lord Jesus wants everybody to trust in him, to know that he will make us fit for heaven by having our sins washed away. Well, after the third time, as we found here, the boy up here told us that God had spoke three times to Samuel. And then finally, you know, Eli realized who it was. Eli was the priest that was in the temple there. And he was the one that talked to him. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So Eli goes and says to Samuel, "Samuel, the next time you hear this voice, speak and say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Oh, I hope everybody can say those words. Speak, Lord. Lord. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Do you know him as your Lord as well as your Savior? You know, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we're all sinners, and we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ now as our Savior, as we have been seeing that around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing, children whose sins have been forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Eli said to Samuel, "Say to the Lord, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went, and he laid down. And the voice came again. And I've just enjoyed the thought here where the Lord calls. What did Samuel say? What did Samuel say? How did Samuel answer that? Well, it said, the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know, why didn't he say Lord? Did he not know the Lord yet? Well, maybe he didn't. I don't know. You know, the love of God is what leadeth men to repentance. You know, did Samuel love the Lord? Well, we're not told just yet, but you know how important it is, boys and girls and everybody in this world, in this room, to know the love of the Lord Jesus, to think that he came down here and died on that cross of Calvary. It says Christ died for all. Yes, he died, that everyone in this room, that work that he accomplished there on that cross of Calvary, everyone in this room can be saved. Everyone that puts their trust in him can have their sins washed away in his own most precious blood. Well, you know, Samuel then listened to what the Lord had to say because there was judgment coming. There was judgment coming. So Samuel listened to what God had to say. And you know, boys and girls, that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him forever. Yes, what a solemn thing. And here's Samuel. He's not a very old boy, not a very old child, but he had to listen to something that he didn't want to hear, really, that judgment is coming. And you know, to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, we have to tell you that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You're saved now, and you're saved for all eternity. But if you don't put your trust in the Lord Jesus, it says the wrath of God is going to abide on you forever. Forever. That's a solemn thing. It's solemn. And poor Samuel had to listen to this. And you know, I was thinking that as Samuel, then Eli the next morning, he called him in. And Sam, it says in verse 18 of chapter 3, it says, "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him." Oh, he had to tell Eli that judgment was going to come. It was a terrible condition that they were living in. The place they were in, the world that they were in at that time was very, very wicked, very much like today. And he had to tell them everything that was going to take place. And oh, this world is ripe for judgment. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Each one of us are going to have to account to God for our life down here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so as we look here, Samuel told him everything. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." And then it says in verse 19, and Samuel grew. I like to think that Samuel realized the love of God and the situation he was in, and he heard about this terrible judgment that was about to pass. I believe now he's saved. I believe now he knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior here. Maybe this is the time he got saved. I'm not completely sure, but I just enjoyed that thought anyway. You know, as a young boy, he listened. And the meeting is just about over now. And I just thought of the brother that spoke last night. He said that, you know, there's two things that are sure. Your never dying soul. You've got a soul that is never going to die. Each one of us here in this room has a soul that is never going to die. You're going to live on and on forever, for all eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? And also it says, as we went along, it says, Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Oh, the word of the Lord endureth forever, as our brother said in the gospel last night. Two things for sure. Your soul, we know the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we know that we're going to live on forever in whatever state. If we know the Lord as our Savior, we don't know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but the word of the Lord is going to go on forever. And there are two things for sure. And so, boys and girls, and each one in this room finishing up here, we see where Samuel grew, and he was a great prophet in the land of Israel. It says, all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Oh, how the word of the Lord endureth forever. Yes, we have God's precious word in our hands. God has told us the beginning from the end. God has told us that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you're saved for all eternity. But if you don't, God, the word of the Lord Jesus says, the wrath of God shall abide on thee forever. And so here was dear Samuel, this little story of this little boy. And I think it's very good that each one of the boys and girls in this room here realize that, you know, the Lord knew Samuel's name. He called him, he talked to him, and he told him many things he didn't want to hear and things that he did want to hear about what he was going to be older on in life. So I think it's very instructive as we look at this little story that he was raised or put in a proper place. And I'm thankful to say that I was raised by Christian parents, and I'm glad of it, enjoyed it. And each one here in this room that have been raised with a godly mother and father that have brought you to the Lord Jesus, and pray that everyone in this room won't leave by not being touched by the Lord Jesus and remembering what he has done, how he loved us, how he gave himself for us, and how he's coming again to take us home to be with himself. Oh, just remember, these words are faithful and true. Perhaps we could just commend ourselves to the Lord. Our gracious God and Father, again, we would thank thee that we're able to just read this little story about Samuel. And oh, how it should solemnize each one of us here, young and old alike, that we, Lord Jesus, can put our trust in thee and be free from the judgments to come, and also that we can go on like Samuel and be able to serve thee and be be one who can glorify thee and do what is pleasing and honoring to thee. And so we just thank thee again that we can enjoy this story, and we just thank thee for this opportunity that we have today, Lord Jesus, to be able to enjoy thee and all that thou hast accomplished there and the finished work on the cross of Calvary. We do this with thanksgiving in thy worthy and precious name. Amen.